Hey, everybody, it's Caddy. You're in one of the next year-end cafes. I'll be honest, I have my favorite band member here with me. His name is Nick Rhodes, and I can't wait to talk to him. Nicholas!
Hello, Catherine.
Hi, Nicholas. You're in the
How
cafe.
Are you?
You're
How
in
are
the
you?
Year-end. I'm fine. I have a glass. I have water for my cafe today. What will you be? I do have a weird background on this Zoom. What will you be drinking?
I had some water a little while ago.
Like me.
No, you had water.
Water.
But yes, I had something that's probably a similar consistency, I believe, hydrogen and oxygen.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. I know how crazy busy the band has been, especially you, because you there is no stone left unturned when Mr. Nick Rhodes is part of your project. So I'm going to jump right into the mix. What, Nicholas, was your event of the year for 2021? There's a lot to choose from.
Event of the year? What, a Duran Duran event, you mean?
No, no, that would be coming in later in the cafe. This is the event of the year. Now, I will say Simon did choose something Duran Duran-ish and Roger did not.
Well, the event of the year. I don't know, really, Catherine. The reason I don't know is because all I've seen all year, the same as most other people on the planet with a television or the internet, is more and more coverage about the doom and gloom of our plight under the new COVID world. And so I think I've watched more news than anything else. What events? Well, from our own point of view, I would say there were a few real highlights. For sure, the big festivals we did, the Isle of Wight, that was great to be back on stage there. And it was a pretty big show and the audience were fabulous.
Yeah.
And I think there was an amazing sense of relief from everyone to be able to see live music again, because, of course, it wasn't just us. There were many other artists on the festival. So that was great. And ACL was really great in America. It was a very different kind of festival for us. It was quite a young crowd. I think it was Miley one night and Billie Eilish another night and then us on the third night. And that was interesting, because what we did think is that beforehand, because we'd stepped in to replace someone who pulled out, and of course all the tickets were sold already.
Oh yeah, so that was different.
So it was quite interesting playing to an audience that isn't an audience that have come to see you or bought tickets to see you. And actually it went really, really well. So that was special. But for sure, the highlight sort of for all of us in a way were our shows in Birmingham.
At the
O2 Academy, which is a tiny venue, used to be called Digbeth Civic Hall, where I saw all kinds of people. I saw the B-52s there.
Saw the B-52s. What year?
I think probably about 1978 or 99, maybe.
I saw them in 1989, like 10 years later. Wow.
I remember it fondly. But anyway, that venue... it's small, but proper old school venue with a balcony and GA downstairs. And because we hadn't played for so long and no one had seen a show, we were all nervous about the regulations, but I think they did a magnificent job there and everyone was very careful. But at the same time, everybody had a really, really great evening, I think. We certainly did. And I think the audience did. At one point, I literally thought the place was going to fall down. I've said
it. I know.
But I've never heard such noise from such a small-ish audience in a very long time. So that was a real thrill. And I think just great to be doing something. I miss live entertainment. I've never really done so little socially, meaning galleries, museums, movies, theatre, other concerts, I've literally seen virtually nothing all year because I haven't been going to things, and there hasn't been an awful lot to choose from.
That's interesting, because when I was preparing this, I thought to myself, what's Nick going to say? Because you usually have like gallery exhibits and photo exhibits and fashion shows, and you probably didn't do any of that this year. Nope. So I was thinking, oh, goodness me, what's Nicholas going to say?
Cupboard is bare, Catherine. The cupboard is bare.
The cupboard is bare. Well, what do you think? What was the best movie you saw in 2021? It doesn't have to have come out, but that you saw and enjoyed. And you and I have to really get on the stick.
Well. Actually, I watched a few of my favorite cult movies again. I watched The Bitter Tears of Petra von Kant, which is a fabulous Fassbinder movie. For anyone who hasn't seen it, it's really just fantastic character development and I don't know, strangely beautiful. So I watched that again. I also watched Myra Breckinridge again.
Oh, wow.
Which I haven't seen for a very, very long time.
Didn't they remake that? Or am I?
No, they may well have done. I didn't see the remake. This was the original one. It's a Gore Vidal book, isn't it? That the guy who directs is a British director called Mike Sarn.
Okay.
Who I met many, many, many years ago sometime in the early 80s when I was out somewhere in London. And we were talking about things and I said, oh, you made that movie, Myra Breckinridge. He said, you've heard of that? You've seen it? And I said, yes, I have it. I have it on a VHS video at the time. And he said, what? He said, I don't have that movie. Could I borrow it?
And he directed it?
Yes.
That's awesome.
But I guess I'd bought it in America or somewhere. But anyway, I watched it again. There's things in it that are really great. It's interesting when you don't watch something for 25 years, 30 years, and then see it again, how your perspective on it changes. But I enjoyed it, and Raquel Welch is delightfully mad in it. there's lots of things I want to see. I really do want to see them in the cinema too, particularly Dune.
You told me that.
I really, really do want to see that. A couple of my friends have seen it, and I just haven't had the chance yet. But that and The Power of the Dog is the one I'm super excited to see,
was super excited. I feel like we're getting into our Oscar territory, all the reviews I've read said it's great, slow moving, but great. But then literally every one of my friends who are like your friends, I'm the least arty of my friends. Like they just let me in, maybe because I know you, where you're very arty. And anyway, all of my sort of friends like you did not care for it. Said, not sure why I got those reviews. Like 5 or 6 people I know have seen it, didn't love it. Everybody's loved Licorice Pizza though, which I'm dying to see.
I see.
I'm just saying. What else? Tell me. You're making fun of me.
I don't know. We'll get to our movie list, I hope. And this is usually the time of year when they start to flood in. So there are a number of things that it'll be exciting to see. Actually, I have to confess, I'm also looking forward to seeing Steven Spielberg's West Side Story.
Are you?
Yeah, because the original is magnificent. And I'm not big on musicals at all, but that's got so many great songs in it. And really, Stephen Sondheim wrote the words, and it is quite something for the period. So of all the movies to take on, Steven Spielberg is nothing but brave. I wouldn't have wanted to take that one on. But I've got a feeling he's probably done it remarkably well, because he's that kind of director that when he does do something, he's never really done a musical like that, has he? So that's why I want to see it, to see what he's done. I imagine it will be pretty, pretty good. And I'm also looking forward to The House of Gucci. I know it's not got great reviews, but...
I would see that too.
Yeah, I want to see that because it's a fascinating story, and also it is a Ridley Scott film.
Right.
There aren't many Ridley Scott films that I don't like. So I'm looking forward to that.
I saw King Richard. Oh, I don't know. That? I loved it. And I think you would too. Yeah. I thought it was, I didn't think I was watching Will Smith. That's how good it was. And I saw The Eyes of Tammy Faye, and I'm so glad that Jessica Chastain got nominated for a Golden Globe, even though I don't really think, you know, the movie could have been so much better.
She's great. You know, I loved her in the movie she was in a few years ago, the sort of the crime thing. What's that called? I don't know. I've forgotten for the moment. But yes, she was great in that, the casino gambling thing.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about, but I can't think of it either. Yeah. It was that guy who always works with Bradley Cooper, right? I can't think of, I can't think of it. Todd? No. Is it Todd? Whatever. But you didn't see anything. There's no current best movie for you or more current. No. Okay.
It will be by the time we get to our Oscar Cafe, Catherine.
Of course, of course, of course. Now, you don't strike me as a TV binger, but I'm going to ask anyway, were there any shows that you binged this year that, and you can't use the Queen's Gambit two years in a row like Simon did.
Will. But the word binge, no, I don't binge anything, Catherine. It's an unpleasant word, I think.
I binge Diet Pepsis.
That's not good.
I know.
Of things unnecessarily is, no, doesn't appeal to me. So no binging. I did watch some TV series though. By the Queen's Gambit, of course, is by far the best series of the last 5 years for me, maybe even more. And I didn't see anything that I thought was better than that. That's for sure. Absolutely love that. I'm sure we did talk about it last year, didn't we?
We did.
So we can talk about some others. I did quite like Midnight Mass.
I don't know that one.
It's a good old creepy American tale where religious people mix with vampires. Unintentionally, but then intentionally, and then unintentionally, if that makes any sense. I thought it was quite well done. The characters are interesting, and there's some good twists in it. I like that. I watched Ratched, which I thought looked exquisitely beautiful.
Who's in that?
Main appeal to me. Oh, goodness, Catherine, don't ask me names of people. I tell you who was in it was Sharon Stone.
Oh.
She had a part in it. And the actress who plays Ratched is very, very good. They were all great in it. And again, for me, of course, the styling was fabulous, and that made it very enjoyable. It looked like a Hitchcock movie. Mm. It was very clearly influenced by all those fabulous things shot in Technicolor in the 50s and early 60s. It reminded me of things like Vertigo and The Birds. And it was really, and because it was on the West Coast of America too, it had that sort of look to it. They're very good, but very violent. God, everything is so
violent.
I mean, really, 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 of all these things. Midnight Mass, by the way, is very violent. Ratched is violent. Then I watched Squid Game.
Well, I wanted to, sorry to interrupt, but after we do our cafes, I listen back to them just to make sure that there's like nothing. And I was listening to it in the kitchen, and Brian said, did you just ask Nick if Squid Games was real? Because remember on the last cafe, I don't know why I thought it was a real game. And
I'm not going to walk you further into that hole.
He's like, oh my God, Caddy. There's a trailer I keep seeing for a new British TV show that I think of you every time I see. It's with Olivia Colman and David Thewlis. And
Yeah,
you know which one, they bury her parents or
something. But I've seen her on the she's an actress too. Anyway, I quite like Squid Game, but again, they're all so violent. Then I watched Alice in Borderland, which is the sort of Japanese version of the same kind of game goes wrong and lots of people die story.
Yeah.
And that had amazing characters in it. They're really, really well done, but I have to say, I don't particularly have an appetite for that kind of ultra violence. But yeah, so those are the things I watched, really. So Midnight Mass, I think, was probably the one, and Ratched, because it looked so great.
I didn't watch much except for Ted Lasso, so I'll have to see. Did you have a chance to read any books that you can recommend?
I started the year by rereading Bram Stoker's Dracula, which is something I should almost do once a year. It's so beautifully detailed. You forget when you don't read these books for a long time. Again, the Victorians really knew how to write in detail. The descriptions, obviously before any kind of movies were around. This is sort of the 1890s and early 1900s. And so they really had to describe everything. None of us, let's do it easily on Netflix and then we'll fix it afterwards business. Just pure imagination, exquisite. And really, that was fun to read. But my favorite book of the year is always a photo book, because I like looking at pictures more than I like reading sometimes, Catherine.
Yeah, I know you like pictures. I send you many, so.
This is you too. And this is, this one again is from one of my favorite photographers. I've mentioned many books by him before, Stephen Gill. This year he put out, I think, one of his best books called Please Notify the Sun. And it's an extraordinary achievement. He's, it's a long story, which he tells much better than I do, but he basically went to catch a fish. He caught the fish and then killed the fish and then using a microscopic technique, photographed the inside of the fish as it slowly rotted. But the picture
is it Sun, S-O-N or S-U-N?
S-U-N. But the pictures are pretty remarkable. They're like scenes from other planets. And
that's kind of gross.
Strange, bizarre idea. But the fact that he followed it through and made this truly magical book. It's quite special. So yes, that was my my favorite book of the year.
Nicholas, you don't listen to podcasts. That was
I was involved in one this year. I don't listen to podcasts just because I'm not.
Couple.
I like pictures to go with my things. I know a lot of podcasts do now actually have video, but then I'm not like some podcasts really. But yeah, I did.
You were on a few actually, but go ahead. Which one?
The one that I did with my dear friend Brian Cox, a scientist, we did a thing together called Sing for Science. And I just love the idea that this podcast combines music and science, because there are so many things about music and science that belong together. And as you know, I'm absolutely fascinated with many scientific things. And so it was really fun to chat to a couple of people in a very casual way, who have such great knowledge of science and also love music. Sing for Science. That was my favorite podcast of the year.
That was a good one. Very, very good. Let me ask you what the best music you heard in 2021 beside Future Past, which would be my choice.
Well, I have to say, Simon's playlists from his Sirius XM show with you, Catherine. He sends me things and I never remember the names, although I have now remembered Wet Leg, just because it's so bizarre.
Chase Loud.
And even more bizarre, King Gizzard and the,
Lizard Wizard.
Yes. Well, I've heard him say it so many times now, I even know what they sound like. But I have to say, I really enjoy just hearing very new music to my ears.
Yeah.
It's been quite sort of inspirational to listen to things that are different. A lot of them, of course, remind me of things from the past. But in general, I think that both you and he have been doing a great job with the show. And it provides me with a whole new stream of new, fresh things to listen to without me having to do all the work.
Some of the shows, and we're doing a best of a year end. And he said, you can choose two songs. And I said, I can't choose two. I need more than two. But anyway, what was your, you know, I'm asking what your favorite Duran Duran moment of 2021 is, but I feel like you answered that in the beginning.
But I have to say, aside from the shows, which obviously were just incredibly uplifting for all of us, the release of the album.
Hands down,
because it's taken 5 years. You know, I like to work very, very quickly. So if I were doing albums, we'd be putting out a Duran Duran album at least every 18 months. The 5 year thing is really
six. It was six this year.
Even
this
more.
Time. Yes. Yeah.
It's dictated by other people's slowness and schedules, which is okay. It is what it is. But in that time, while I was waiting for a paragraph from Simon, or maybe a word, some syntax, anything, I did four other albums with Wendy Bevan, 52 tracks released on all the solstices and equinoxes this year.
And so one's coming up.
Our last one comes out on the 21st of December. And I'm actually really proud of the project and very excited that we managed to pull it off, because it was ridiculously ambitious. And I think even I wondered myself about halfway through whether we were going to get it all done. And I was fiddling with the last one in the studio days before it had to go to be mastered. And we just about made every deadline. So there you go. That's the most albums I've put out. That's five albums I've put out this year.
You are ridiculously ambitious. So that doesn't surprise me at all. And I know that you have to go to your next interview. So my last question is, what are you looking forward to the most in 2022, Nicholas?
2022, I'm looking forward to hope.
Aww.
I think most people in the world are. And let's hope we all get it too. It's been a pretty rough year for everyone. Even trying to make things happen is 10 times harder. We were lucky. I feel very grateful that we got to play the shows we did, that we've put out the album, even that we were able to do some media and speak to people, TV, radio, press things, because it wasn't easy. We've had an awful lot of COVID tests, just like everyone else out there who has to go out and mix with people. So I'm hoping for hope next year, and that things really improve. And if they do, then we will be able to do more shows, which we are planning. Many have been announced already.
Yes, indeed.
And the European dates. So yes, we're really looking forward to those. And there will be, at some stage, further announcements, I hope, for other countries around the world.
My fingers are crossed. I'm sure everyone that is listening, fingers are crossed. I want to thank you so much for taking time out of what has really been a busy, certainly a busy 4 or 5 months for all of you, but the end of the year stuff, churn, and all your stuff. So thank you. And on behalf of the whole fan community, I want to wish you and your family a very happy holiday and a happy and healthy new year, Nicholas.
Well, thank you very much, Catherine, and to you and your family and everybody else who's out there tuning in. I hope you all have a safe, sound, fabulous holiday, and that we get to see some of you next year. We would very much like to be out there doing what at least three of my band members is their favorite activity. it'll be fun to play some shows. So hopefully next year, and have a great holiday.